Welcome to the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show with your hosts, Bigger and Briggs.
That's right. Welcome back to an all-new episode of the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show on the Fantasy Sports Network and AsylumFantasySports.com.
We are Fligger and Briggs. Welcome into the Asylum for yet another fun-filled, exciting week. Drop us a line, asylumfootball@gmail.com or asylumfantasysports@gmail.com.
On Twitter, @asylumfootball. Well, Rick, we're counting down to the draft. The schedule's been announced, and really, that's about all that's going on. Not being a draft, Nick, you know, I'm not going to spend any time on that, Rick. I wait for camp before I give any pass any judgment on the draft. But since it is draft season, I think what we're going to do later on in the show here is we'll do a little mock draft, a little fantasy draft, maybe a 12-man league. Yeah, with two of us drafting, it'll be more fun that way. Probably only get through a round or two. Yeah, and where the idea comes from, I think, Rick, and we'll get into some headlines here real quick, but where the idea comes from on this draft is how many times we've played the game shows the last couple weeks trying to slot guys, trying to – we have our rankings, but trying to slot them where they go in the draft. We've had struggles with that, so I wanted to sit down and actually do a mock draft and see where we think these guys are falling.
Yeah, well, it's never too early to do a mock draft, and you know, I think that's a good idea. It's just a nice exercise in trying to figure out where some of these guys will be falling. And, of course, it's not the same, I understand, with you and I doing that because we know each other's tendencies so well. But it still gives you a good baseline is where some of these guys are going to be falling.
Yeah, so we'll do that here later in the show, but let's start off. I think – by FCC regulation, we have to discuss Tim Tebow going to the Eagles. Yeah, well, just about broke Twitter completely when that news came out. Nice fit, I guess. I don't know. I have never seen a guy who's accomplished so little. Yeah, maybe it's just because of the celebrity he has, but a guy who's accomplished so little be the main headline. He is now the fourth quarterback in Philadelphia, and it's the biggest news of the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, word has it Matt Barkley will be released, so he'll automatically will get a promotion up to third.
Well, that's good.
And
that's how I get most of my promotions.
I mean, good for him. He's a good kid. I understand. Well, I really don't understand why it is so noteworthy. I mean, it's something to talk about, I guess. But he has a long way to go just to make the team, let alone talk about anything. So, I mean, good for the kid. I wish him luck, and we'll just take it from there because it's certainly – I'm not going to sit and just waste my breath talking about, oh, what kind of fits Chip Kelly going to do for him, this, that, and the other.
Here's where it would be noteworthy. If Chip Kelly brought him in and said, as I keep hearing these experts – I'm doing the air quotes now – all these experts out there telling me – that, you know, save for his inability to throw the football, his style of play is perfect for the Tim Tebow offense, for the Chip Kelly offense, which I disagree with, number one. I also don't buy into if the news was he's coming in to start and this is the kind of guy I need for my offense, that's news. You nailed it. You know, best case scenario going into camp is a third quarterback. I don't believe, and I bought into it a little bit with the Jets, bought into a little bit with Denver. I don't believe for a second they're going to have this package, and that's what everyone wants to talk about. You could build a package for him, like the two-point conversion package. They don't do that in the NFL. You have your starting quarterback, you go out, you run your offense. They're not going to play him at H-back. I don't think they're going to play him at tight end. I think he was brought in, be a nice scout team guy, be a good guy in the locker room. But I think that's all it is. And any of this conjecture out there to where they're going to have a package in for him, I don't buy it. It'd be neat to see, but that's not what happens in the NFL, even somebody crazy like Chip Kelly.
I think the key word – I don't want to call Chip Kelly crazy because obviously, you know, his Chip Kelly offense – using the air quotes. I mean, they work. They've won 20 games the last couple of years. But what he's doing, I'm have to see it to believe this.
Right.
I mean, they talk about, you know, a Chip Kelly type of guy or whatever. Look, they got rid of Nick Foles. Whatever you think about Nick Foles is he did have some success. He trades him basically for a guy who has, number one, hasn't lived up to some of the hype and potential we thought he had. And two, he's had two blown knees.
Yeah, two ACLs.
In Sam Bradford. Got Mark Sanchez as a backup, and that's basically all Mark Sanchez is. We have DeSean Jackson come off the best year of his career. They've sent him off to Washington. Not going to say anything bad about that. I think the guy's a cancer in the locker room. Nothing wrong there. It was kind of unnoteworthy. But then, all of a sudden, Jeremy Maclin comes back, has a career year. The emergence of LeSean McCoy, we thought he'd be underutilized, finished third.
Right.
Jordan Matthews, the emergence of him. Well, all of a sudden, he shifts McCoy out. We get rid of Maclin, and we're bringing in guys, like I said, Sam Bradford. Now, DeMarco Murray, I think, is a downgrade.
Hey.
And now we bring in Tim Tebow. He better win the division, and he better win now.
Yeah,
I mean, there's no logic to this in my mind.
No, you give the guy credit for shoving all in on himself. Yeah, I got to give him that. But, boy, it looks crazy. It really does. I don't know. I don't think the Tim Tebow move even fits into this. I think we're beyond Tim Tebow now and talking about Chip Kelly. But the kind of offense he likes to run. Look, DeMarco Murray fits into any offense.
Right.
But I don't think I ship off LeSean McCoy to get him. That move I don't get. You let Jeremy Maclin go. You're going in, and he had a nice year last year, and a kid I really like. But with a second-year guy in Jordan Matthews as your number one wide receiver, I don't see the weapons that they had last year in town. And it's going to be interesting to see. And Sam Bradford, let's take the health out of it, which you can't. I generally try to, but a guy with two ACLs in 2 years, it's sort of hard to take that off the table. He's been unspectacular. He's no better than Nick Foles. If this offense is the new wave and it's so complicated, I'd rather have the guy, all things being equal, who's done it, who knows the offense. You can't count on Mark Sanchez. You're not going to bring in Tim Tebow and have him succeed here. I kind of hope it works, because you don't see this very often. It's so many guys with the status quo, and this is how we do things in the NFL, and I'll line up my guys and we'll all do the same thing, and hopefully my guys are better. He's taking a shot here. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what the ultimate plan is, but I kind of hope it works, because I've never seen anything like it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're lining up your guys, and I'm hoping mine's better, but he's getting rid of guys that are better than the guys he has.
Right, so
and
what's the
Jeremy
plan?
Jeremy Maclin, 85 catches, 1,300 and some yards, 10 touchdowns. Now, like you said, Matthews, in a second year, man, is the number one guy, and what, we're expecting Riley Cooper to pick up the slack?
Right.
I don't see it.
No, I mean,
I just don't.
Cooper's a nice complimentary piece, but he's a third or fourth receiver. That's where he belongs. They'll probably go out and draft somebody. What you have to believe is, and where it'll be interesting, the Eagles can't be done. There has to be more in the works. So something to keep an eye on. With Tim Tebow mania will just sweep through Philadelphia, or I don't know where their training camp is, all off season, and I'll be surprised if he makes the team, let alone makes any significant contribution once the season starts.
I'm the same way. I agree 100%. I wish him well, but until he makes a roster, I'm not even going to talk about him.
Right. All right, Rick. Real quick, we're running out of time here. Antonio Brown holding out Steelers offseason voluntary quote-unquote workouts, wants a new deal. Anything to worry about as a guy we had as the top-ranked fantasy player going into 2015?
Yeah, we talked about Matt Forte with his voluntary miss last week on the show. We can't get into it. I mean, you have made great points last week. You sort of sympathize in a way, but, you know, you signed this deal. I mean, it's not like I don't know. I'm just a little bit tired of it myself.
Yeah, and look, I get it. He propelled himself from where he was when he signed that contract to probably the best wide receiver in the game.
Well, Pittsburgh made the move and stepped up
right.
And gave him that contract early when everybody you know, anticipated them signing a big signing with Mike Wallace.
Right.
They threw the money at Brown.
Yeah, they gave him all the money.
Exactly.
Say thank and you.
Exactly. I mean, you can't have that many more years left in it. Deal
right,
with it.
Right. And that's where I get flustered. Again, these guys' shelf lives are so short. Make your money while you can. He will never be in a stronger bargaining position. But you nailed it, and that's where I was headed. That's kind of scary. It came down, him and Mike Wallace were due in the same year. Mike Wallace was the rising star. Antonio Brown was an afterthought nationally. I think we knew about him more here locally. And they gave him all the money. They gave him the money that we thought Mike Wallace would get and that Mike Wallace was commanding. And it seemed like a high price tag for Antonio Brown at the time. Has he outperformed it? Maybe. But at what point? I think we need to start seeing more guaranteed money in these contracts. And maybe it eliminates some of this nonsense. All right, Rick. Well, we're out of time here. Let's take a break. When we come back, we will have the first annual, well, not annual, I don't know if we'll ever do it again, but the first mock draft of 2015.
And as if we get to it in the segment, we, you know, our brains may,
yeah, God only knows,
ooh, a grasshopper, and then right, we're off zone somewhere else.
Might not happen at all, but we'll do something right after this.
And now, back to Fligger and Briggs on the Fantasy Sports Network.
Welcome back to the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show. Rick, I think it's time. Let's do it. The first mock draft of 2015.
Well, I think we're going to cover, going to give you a question.
Oh, all right. So we're not going to do the first mock draft of 2015.
We will. We're just getting it. I'm going to, I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Probably not. Chances are.
But after the Masters came the RBC Heritage Classic, you know, the following week, which Jim Furyk won in a playoff, you know, which you're familiar with.
We were talking familiar about that. With that, yes.
Did you know that Tom Watson made the cut?
Of course he did. It's what he does. He goes out and makes the cut.
It's his third cut he's made in the last 2 years on the regular tour. And at 65 years, 7 months, and 13 days old, he sank a birdie on 18 on a 36 hole to make the cut. He shot 69 on Saturday after that. But I thought that was rather amazing. But did you know he is not the oldest guy to make a cut on a PGA Tour?
This year or ever?
Ever.
All right. Who's older?
Sam Snead was 67 years old when he made the cut in the 79 Westchester Classic.
It's pretty impressive.
That's very impressive.
You're giving dap to the old guys. That's all this was about.
No, I
ain't dead yet. That's what this was. This is Rick Briggs' I ain't dead yet speech.
Exactly. And I'm... You know, I love guys like this.
Well, Watson's so fun to watch, and all he does is go out there and be in the top 10 on the first day of the Masters year after year and becomes a story, then quietly fades back. Watson, unlike you, is an old guy I can get behind. I like him.
The thing I like about Watson, because I can remember him from, obviously, when he came on tour in the early 70s, you know, throughout his career, that swing has never changed.
No.
It is just like a machine.
Just steady.
I mean, we see, you know, the way Tiger dominated. We talked about he tinkered and everybody,
yeah,
this, that, and the other. Hey, basically lost his game. Watson never could putt early on in his year. I mean, he probably could have won 14, 15 majors if he could have sank a putt,
yeah,
you know, the first 10 years of his career. But, you know, his swing is just amazing. And it's the same. It's just that compact, nice flowing swing. And, you know, props to the old guys. Let's get on with the draft.
All right. So props to the old guys out of the way. Rick, since the theme of the show seems to be props to old guys, I am going to defer to you and give you the first pick. We won't even do that fake coin flip we usually do when we do things like this.
Well, just to clarify to the audience, the only reason you are deferring to me without, you know, throwing your double-headed coin in the air is because you don't want to have to pick Le'Veon Bell, number one, with the suspension.
I didn't want to have to make that decision.
That's exactly it.
All right.
I mean, I see through you like a
All
ghost.
Right. I'll tell you what. Stop then.
All right.
I'm going to go with the first pick.
All right.
I'm going to make the first pick. Adrian Peterson, Rick. I am assuming he's going to Dallas.
All right, I got Le'Veon Bell. I'm going to assume his suspension is down to 2 games, and
okay,
I'll live with it.
All right, so I'm going to write this down. I went with – who did I go with? Peterson.
Yeah.
That's right. And then do we want to double – yeah, we'll just go every other here. All right, so Peterson, Bell. And why I wanted to do this, Rick, now it gets tough. We're at the third pick. It gets tough right now. I think
we ought to do it this way. Instead of, like – a two-man draft.
Okay.
Let's do it like a 12-round round one or 12-man round one. We're not really drafting for you.
Right.
We're drafting for me.
Right. That's what I'm doing.
Okay.
We're going 1 to 12.
Making sure.
1 to 12.
And this is a PPR
here.
Format for clarity for the audience.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. PPR, non-dynasty.
Six point dynasty.
All your standard stuff you'll get on all your junkie sites out there. And that's why, all that being said, Rick, I get to pick three. It gets tough for me already.
Yeah, it does.
I think if I'm sitting at three right now, I got questions about Jamal Charles, Eddie Lacy, Marshawn Lynch. You know, the list I'm looking at, just to go off of so I don't forget anybody. I see Gronk up that high. I don't see it. I'm going to go with Antonio Brown here. I really believe that much in him. I don't worry. We talked about last segment. I don't worry about this contract thing. They'll figure something out. He'll hold out through off-season workouts. He'll show up about halfway through camp with or without a deal. That's the way this always goes. I'm that high on Antonio Brown. I think I have him as a third overall pick.
Okay. I mean, that's nothing wrong with that. I'll tell you what, PPR, I'm going Matt Forte. I think everything will smooth out, and he'll be there.
All right. So we get Forte. That's pretty obvious. Now, while I have question marks about him, if I'm sitting in the five hole – and Jamal Charles falls to me, I am thrilled. I am absolutely thrilled, and that's where I'm going to go there. You know, and it's interesting. I'm going to stop us right here. Well, I'll tell you what, make your pick, then I'll make my point.
Okay, and I mean, this is, to me, now this is where it gets difficult. I got Eddie Lacy rolling around, maybe a little bit of Marshawn Lynch, but now I'm looking at Demaryius Thomas, Jordy Nelson, Dez Bryant, that sort of thing. I tell you what, I think I'm going safety first. My first round pick. I'm going Demaryius Thomas.
All right. Okay. So Demaryius Thomas goes there. So I find it interesting, my point, and I was curious to see where you were going to go. You know, we talked about, you know, before the news of Bell suspension that, you know, this might be the year that he was the only write it down guy at the running back position, and we thought maybe these wide receivers would go fast. Here we go, Rick. We're halfway through the first round and already got four running backs gone.
Yeah, but we're still in that, using the air quotes, as you like to say, that real still upper echelon of them. I mean, we haven't hit that invisible line yet, I don't think.
No, I think we're still in the realm where I'm comfortable with just about anybody. So I'm sitting here with the seventh pick, Rick, and I don't know how much of this I actually buy or this is me backing up the speech I gave on our other show last week. But I think as I look at these guys that are left, you mentioned them, Eddie Lacy, we got Marshawn Lynch there, you had LeSean McCoy, Arian Foster. Yeah, I'm torn. I kind of want to go Dez Bryant here, but I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers. He's the last sure thing for me, save for Dez Bryant. And choosing between Dez Bryant and Aaron Rodgers, I'm going to choose to go with Aaron Rodgers. But I think we've already gotten to that point in the draft where if I'm looking for a sure thing in the first round, Aaron Rodgers is the only one left.
Okay. I mean, I can see where you're coming from. I'll tell you what, that sticks me in the eight hole right now. And if I'm sitting here in the eighth hole, okay, and I know, okay, I got another pick in what, eight picks. If I'm mistaken, yeah, four more, yeah.
Right.
Another eight picks. I'm going to get a quality running back while they're still there, and I'm taking Shady. I have no problem with him at the eighth pick.
No, I mean, it's good value. That's probably the low end for him. I think we both agree he may take a bit of a step back. Maybe we don't agree. We both are fearful he could take a step back.
Think,
let's put it that way.
Right.
I don't want to say he's going to. I'd like to see a little bit. You don't learn a lot from the preseason, but I'd like to see it a little bit. But I think at the eighth hole, how do you argue with that? And so then spinning around at nine, Rick, most people have in the top five. You know, I'm going to keep the running back thing going. To your point, we got a little bigger run here than we thought. I can't let Eddie Lacy go on. He's a guy I'm a little lukewarm on, but what he did in the second half of the season, I love that Packers offense. And if I'm sitting at nine and can still grab Eddie Lacy, I'm thrilled.
Yeah, I would be too. There's no question. I mean, you just can't argue with it. There's nothing to argue about. And now comes, to me, what's very difficult. We're at, what, 10 right now. So, I mean, I still, you know, there's still going to be some picks behind me. It's not as easy as 12 to me. And this is where the quality of the running backs, to me, is down. As much as I love the guy, especially in the second half of the season, I don't know if I can go Marshawn Lynch right now at 10. And the reason I say that is because, like you said, your Dez Bryant, Antonio Brown, and so forth. But I think at 10, I think I'm going to gamble, and I'm going Julio Jones.
Julio Jones. Ooh, higher on Julio than
104 catches last year. And just extremely productive. And I just have to assume, and I could be totally wrong, but Atlanta is going to be a little bit better this year.
How could they not be? With that talent on offense, especially. Curious to see what happens at the running back position there. I still like Matt Ryan. Obviously, Julio Jones is a stud. You can get a little more out of Roddy White. I think he's got another year in him. Curious to see what Harry Douglas leaving does, if it changes the dynamic of things. So I'm sitting at 11, and there's two guys, and it's Marshawn Lynch and it's Dez Bryant. This is where I wish I was in the 12 hole, I think, and I could do something a little more clever. I know at 11, I think, Rick, there's probably a drop-off after Dez Bryant. You figure Julio's gone, Antonio Brown's gone, Demaryius Thomas is gone. If there's a slight drop, I think that's where it's going to be. I don't want to let him slip here. I know the guy at the 12-13 turn is going to take him, so this is where I'm going to go with Dez Bryant.
Yeah, you're taking Dez in the 11th spot. Now, that puts me in a sort of an enviable position because I'll tell you what, in 12, I'll gamble with Marshawn Lynch.
Right.
Get that quality running back, and now I know I'm going to get a quality receiver. To me, this is what's difficult.
I'll tell you what, Rick, I'm going to stop you there. You're going to take Marshawn Lynch with the 12th pick. Let's come back, and we'll start the second round right after this.
Okay.
We don't sleep so you can stay ahead of your competition. Stick with the Asylum.
Thank you, Mark, and we are Fligger and Briggs on the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show. Rick, we're in start of the second round,
starting
the 13th pick, and I just finished up with Marshawn Lynch at 12. It gets a little dicey for me because I want a quality receiver, and with Dez, Demaryius, and Julio gone, and Antonio Brown, of course, you know, to me it does get a little dicey because I've got Manny Sanders had over 100 catches a year before on Denver, but you got Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, Odell Beckham. But I'm going to pray for health, and I think to match up with Marshawn Lynch because I just like the touchdowns, Jordy Nelson.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a steady pick. I don't think there's a lot of risk there. He has been banged up in the past. Nothing ever tremendously serious. What was it, two seasons ago, I think he really, really battled through the bug. I think he's a safe guy. Yeah, I think I have other guys ranked ahead of him. But if you're looking to play it safe, and I think looking at that team you have down there at 12, Marshawn Lynch, kind of a safe guy, not real flashy. I'm still curious to see what Jimmy Graham being in town is going to do to his touchdown numbers would be my only concern with him, which is why he slips down. I passed on him a couple times at 7, 9, and 11, three places I was considering and passed every time. That's what it comes down to for me. But I think you're building that team based on being steady, being solid, and I think Marshawn Lynch and Jordy Nelson are a good fit there. So if me going up my team at number 11, I took Dez Bryant there. I look at the running backs left. I got a ton of questions about DeMarco Murray. I have questions about Arian Foster, more about health. He as the years go by, he's nicked up more and more often. And then from there, the running back position completely falls off the table. So that being said, I'm going to be forced into anyhow taking a gamble at the running back position. If I'm sitting here with Dez Bryant and I know I'm going to be gambling anyhow, I'm going to do it later on with my running back position. I'm going to swing for the fences, go real high end here. And if Odell Beckham can follow up what he did last season, this season, if I pair him with Dez Bryant, it isn't much going to matter who my running backs are. If I have two warm bodies in there, I'm going to put up points every week. So this is going to be the team being at the end of the first round where I'm going guaranteed lock wide receiver and big swing for the fences play in Odell Beckham.
Yeah, I think that's a good strategy. to go for, especially in that position. You got two superstars.
Right.
And which is better to me than a superstar and...
And a question mark.
Could be, but you just
I
don't
want to get forced in here to take into running back.
Right.
I think there was more of a running back run earlier in the first round than I thought there would be. I based on best player available for me, I'd take Dez Bryant. I'm not going to take a question mark here in the second round at running back when I can get question marks in the fourth, fifth, and sixth rounds. That's where my strategy comes in.
Yeah, I agree. So that brings us up to me.
Number 10, you took Julio Jones.
Julio Jones
round.
On that one. Now, see, this is a guy that I'm going to – I got my good receiver, and now I'm like you, but I know these wide running backs are starting to go. I'm going to go DeMarco Murray in this slot. I think he's quality enough. Am I going to expect the 1,800 yards? No. But I'm going to expect a 12 to 1,300 yards out of him and some catches and so forth. And I think that's going to be a nice fit, you know, a good foundation for a start of a team.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's where you take him. You're set at the wide receiver position. I think I'm not going to say we've fallen off the table with the wide receiver position. Because the pick I'm going to make here, Rick, if you'd have told me any time in the last four seasons that I could pair him with Eddie Lacy picking out of the nine hole, I could get this guy in the second round. Give me Calvin Johnson right here. Eddie Lacy, Calvin Johnson, that's a base I'll build my team around any day.
Yeah, and I've said this
so many of these
times.
Guys have risen. He hasn't fallen. Just so many guys have risen.
Right.
We're forgetting about Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, I've said this a million times. Fantasy owners have some of the shortest memories on the planet.
Right.
And Calvin Johnson really did nothing to, you know, not garnish respect. But like you said, there's just so many other guys have put in some fantastic stats. Where he was just kind of, and Golden Tate was the golden boy.
Right.
For
a good
pun
period
intended.
Of
right.
last season. So, Rick, let's cut it off here. We will pick it up, finish up the second round right after the break. Welcome back to the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show on the Fantasy Sports Network. Rick, I'm going to take a quick break from the draft here. We only planned on doing two rounds. We're halfway through the second. We'll get back into that in the next segment. But, we need to do a little purging here. Every once in a while, it feels good to pull the curtain back. So, long story short, obviously, we pre-record this show for the Fantasy Sports Network. Airs for you here every Saturday, and then whenever they do the replays. We also do our own show on our own little network, AsylumFantasySports.com. You can check that out. We do a weekly, basically just a podcast on Tuesday nights. Hosted through a service I hope you haven't been unfortunate enough to deal with called Blog Talk Radio. Now, this isn't free. They charge a pretty penny every month for us to have the right to put it out there, put the show out there, host it live. It's got some nice features, give you the chat room, give you a call-in line. You know, in theory, a great thing. Each and every stinking week, there is some issue with it. If you've listened to our shows, you know last week I was a little late getting to the show. Rick took the bull by the horns, decided to put the show on the air himself, and had to call in on his phone as he couldn't make a connection with the computer. Had to call the call-in line as the host of the show. Sometimes it just doesn't come on at all. Most episodes, it's going to cut out at some point. Sometimes the chat room doesn't work. But what they never have any trouble with is running a bunch of ads over top of your show, sometimes in the middle of your show, that they compensate you for to the tune of about 60 cents a month. So that makes it all worthwhile right there, I'm certain. So tonight, we recorded the first half of this show for you, and then we went in to do our live show. Great show. Well, not a great show. Horrible show, actually, but... a passionate show.
We had fun.
We had a good time. It had nothing to do with fantasy football. If you're a fantasy football fan, you've hated that show. So as we do...
if you like the show that went from Andre the Giant to
Britt McHenry to chimpanzees throwing their Meriwether issue
Pacquiao
at
British
Bill
Open.
Belichick, yeah. You name it, we covered it. It's gone. Just gone. The first 45 seconds played, and then the rest was gone. So, as I'm sure, I thought this would be just no issue at all. I dialed up customer service, tech support, if you will, online. I explained what happened, asked if it could be recovered. The first response was no response, X'd out of the chat. All right, a simple mistake, right, Rick? So I did it again. Asked the question. She said, I'll be right back with you. X'd out and sent me a survey wanting to know how I thought the service was and if she answered my question. So now I'm getting a little perturbed. On the third time after 20 minutes, I get a response saying, and I quote, do you use a microphone when you do your show? Do I use a microphone? That's the question. So you think I've done, and it's listed on there, we've done 247 episodes, and you ask me, am I using a microphone? But I didn't say that. I was calm. I'm reasonable. And I say, well, yes. In fact, not only do we use a microphone, we use a Akai soundboard. We use a Belkin USB soundboard. We're a legitimate operation here, for God's sake. We're the Asylum Fantasy Sports Network as part of the Fantasy Sports Network. Her response was, of course, well, you might want to check your equipment because our system filters out any silence, and so we weren't able to pick up any of the show, except for the fact that the first minute of the show was on there. It shows you when you're on the air. I can hear it through the headphones. I could see that little ticker on the board going back and forth showing we were on the air. So they lost their show, and her response is, do you have a microphone? That was her solution to the problem. I need to buy a microphone. Every month I pay for this crap. Every episode we have a problem. If you ever had the misfortune of listening to our Sunday morning Inside Slant, you'll know that about every 45 minutes it'll just kick us off the air. And here all we needed all along, Rick, was a damn microphone. If only I had known that before.
But we have two.
Well, apparently not. That's her solution.
Huh.
Yeah, their name is Marigold or something ridiculous like that.
I'm hoping maybe we could just go back to soup cans and a string.
We might as well, because this is useless. I mean, to give you the point of ridiculousness we have to go through, you know, it's 2015. Even Rick Briggs has got the silly Wi-Fi, you know what I mean? And so we can do most anything through the Wi-Fi. Not with this blog talk, you know, because their signal's so weak or whatever the problem is. Rick has to string 100 feet of that internet cable down his stairs and into the studio every week so we can be hardwired into the internet so we can get just a modicum of sound quality to come through that trash website. And this is what we get. And they have the audacity every month to charge me. Do you think any part of her resolution was, boy, I'm sorry, something went wrong with our software. Let me credit you for this week. Do you think she said that, Rick? We'll make it a guess. Do you think she said that? No, she didn't say that. She said, buy a microphone. That was her solution to the problem. So anybody listening, if you do this, is there another hosting site, something else we could do it live, have the call-in number? Because I've got to get away from these people. You know, look, we have a lot of fun doing this. This is a passion product. We make no money doing it. It costs us money every month. But this isn't easy to do. There's an expense. And while you're having fun, it's work. It's work we enjoy, but we put a lot of time, we put a lot of effort into it, we put a lot of ourselves into this. And when you do this for an hour, and we joke about, this was the most ridiculous hour of air quote sports radio you've ever heard, but you put the passion in it, you put the time into it, you have a good time, and for a service you pay for, it's just gone! I can't tolerate it anymore. I have to move on. I have to be able to take this network and the guys from the Sports Rant and the guy from Pine Tar Talk and all the Bob Lung and the Racing Times. I want to take these guys. We've got a great thing going. I need to pick them all up and smoothly move them to a service who's going to give me what I pay for. Somebody please tweet us at Asylum Football. Let me know where I can take this network to where all of this hard work, time, and effort isn't just going to be stomped away by this rube, this nonsense of a site, this money pit, this I can't take it anymore. I hope someone at Blog Talk's listening. I hope they are. You're a bunch of flim-flam men. You're snake oil salesmen. I have a damn microphone. Don't tell me to buy a microphone.
I like
fix
the word
your
rube.
Infrastructure. Well, we're the rubes. That's the problem. Why? Because every month I stroke that check to the, and they keep doing it. And they here's what they do. I come up and I ask them to pet. I'm like a dog, and I go up and they punch me in the head. And what do? I come back again and I nuzzle with their foot, and they punch me in the head again. And what do I keep coming back? We're the rubes, Rick. I'm the rube.
Yeah, we are rubes.
All right. Wow.
We're abused rubes.
I feel better now, so I apologize. Thank you. But seriously, anybody knows a better hosting site that has everything we need that I can take this network to, please let us know. Let's break here before I say something that gets us kicked off the Fantasy Sports Network, too. We'll come back.
Which actually works.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that one always works. So check that out, fantasysportsnetwork.com, where we have no such issues and everybody has microphones. We'll be back to wrap up the draft right after this. All right, welcome back to the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show here on the Fantasy Sports Network. Thank you all for letting me vent there for a little bit. I feel much better now after the commercial break. I got that out of my system. Got a little chance to calm down. And how about we get back to the draft, Rick, if you want to do that?
Is that what we're doing?
I don't remember. I got rage issues, apparently. So, Rick, we are at, I believe, I just drafted Calvin Johnson at number 16, paired him up with Eddie Lacy. You are looking for somebody to go at the 17th pick along with your Shady McCoy.
Yeah, and Shady McCoy is, I thought, was a pretty good value right there. And God, after that last bit, I'm just kind of still in awe here. But, boy, I tell you what, I don't even know who's all gone now. It seems I'm just rattled.
It's been a rough night. It's been a tough one.
But, you know, I tell you what, if I've got Shady McCoy coming back up, I want to get somebody that is dynamic, because it's going to be a few picks. I don't think the running back's there.
No, they're gone.
And I think in this scenario here, I think I just may pull the trigger on Gronk.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, I mean, you see him from where he's ranked by most folks, that's a tremendous value. And like pairing him up with Shady McCoy, the word dynamic is perfect. You've got yourself a dynamic little lineup there.
All right, so we're moving up, what, to the 18th pick?
Back up to 18th now with the 7th pick. Aaron Rodgers was taken, so in kind of a precarious spot here.
Yeah.
And this is kind of why I don't like taking the quarterback there. The running backs are gone. The next running backs on my list, Rick, are Jeremy Hill, Forsett, and Ingram. I mean, that's what you're down to at the running back position.
Right.
I'm not pulling the trigger on any of those guys in the middle of the second round, so I think I'm looking wide receiver here. We're talking A.J. Green, Randall Cobb, Sanders, Alshon Jeffrey. This is the tier I'm on right here. Kelvin Benjamin, a guy I have ranked up there. DeAndre Hopkins, a guy I have higher than a lot. I think a guy I'm not ready to give up on, had a down year, but was a late first-round guy or a top-five guy for a long time. I'm going to pair up A.J. Green here. Hopefully he shakes those injury blues from last year. But I'll tell you what, here's the cautionary tale of why I don't like taking that quarterback in the first round.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, yeah, I mean, I agree with you 100%. Now, the next pick that I'm going to is paired up with who?
Paired up with Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah, Demaryius Thomas. Now, here's one right here, and I may have thought with the if I'm going to go with a Rodgers that early, I think I may have – rolled in because he's about the same tier, or Randall Cobb in
right
with him. And I think I'm going to take Randall Cobb on this one here.
And I gave some thought about the hookup, you know, the pick before it. I've just never been a big believer in that hookup. Some weeks it'll win you, but if you have a bad offensive game from the quarterback, it's obviously going to take the running back down with
right
you. That's why I don't like it. So up to the 20th pick. Now here you got Jamal Charles. I think you got a real steal for him at number 5. So trying to find the right guy to pair him up with, Yeah, the pickings are so slim rigged.
Gone?
No, no, he's still okay. out there. Yeah, that's a guy who's really dropped on our boards, who I see ranked a lot higher than that. And actually, you scooped me there. You know, I'm on a wide receiver tier that I feel like I can wait another 8, 9, 10 picks. So what's it going to be? Yeah, about 10 picks until my next selection. One of the wide receivers I'm targeting on this tier is still going to be there. So I'm going to go running back heavy on this squad and pair Arian Foster with Jamaal Charles.
Yeah, I think that's a great tandem to be paired with the start of your draft off with. I agree 100%.
So now moving on to the 21st pick, you're looking to pair with Matt Forte.
Matt Forte, and I think same theory. I'm going Justin Forsett.
So you like Forsett there. You think he's going to be a second-round running back.
Can he follow it up? It is a bit of a gamble to me, but to me, he's like the best of the rest. I don't like, you know, I mean, I do like Jeremy Hill. Don't get me wrong. I like C.J. Anderson. But you still have Giovanni Bernard taking time away from Hill. I think there's going to be some of that. And, you know, I think I'll just go. Yeah, I don't feel too bad with Forsett.
No, I mean, he's a solid guy to go along with a high top-end guy like a Matt Forte. You got a nice, steady back. I don't think you're going to see anything spectacular out of him. So moving up to 22, looking to pair with Antonio Brown. Again, would like to grab a running back here. Boy, it gets thin here, Rick, already at the end of the second round. I think with Antonio Brown, with the best running backs I can find being Hill and Mark Ingram maybe, not loving it. I'm going to go with the wide receiver tandem here. I'm going to roll the dice that Alshon Jeffrey's numbers will go up with Brandon Marshall leaving town with one less mouth to feed there. I think Alshon Jeffrey could have himself a nice little year. And at the end of the second round and paired up behind Antonio Brown, I can get one of these running backs I have on that next tier coming back down. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take Alshon Jeffrey here.
Okay.
So to the 23rd pick, Rick, looking to – you're going to have to help yourself out for at least three games, maybe two, I believe you,
right, with Le'Veon
you
Bell.
Said, but with Le'Veon Bell here.
Yeah, and I think that – I think at this juncture – I'm almost inclined to – I mean, I have to go running back, I think. Of course, I could pick one coming back because I don't have – this is what the – actually the second
– second overall pick, right. 23rd. So you'll have a pick in three picks.
All right. You know, I think I'm just going to go – because I think there's going to be plenty of running backs – there. So I'm going to go wide receiver with this pick while it's still there. And I'm going to go T.Y. Hilton.
T.Y., I like the pick. I like the pick. I really do. I think he's a guy. I don't think Andre Johnson's going to go up there and put up huge numbers. I really don't. But I think he's going to open up things more for T.Y. Hilton, and a guy with his speed and with his skill could really benefit from that. So for the last pick, and we'll end it here in the second round, I got Adrian Peterson here, Rick. I got two picks back-to-back. I'm only going to make one. Here's a guy who was being taken at the end of the first round. People seem to have fallen off. I know you tend to be in that camp. But if I got Adrian Peterson, me believing that he's that top guy, and I'm looking for end zone production now, I'm going to take Jimmy Graham here, knowing I can come back and get that wide receiver or maybe Jeremy Hill with the first pick in the third round. He's still Jimmy Graham. He's going to get the ball in the end zone. There is no receiving threat there in Seattle. So I'm going to round it out with Jimmy Graham and have what I think is the best running back and one of the best pass catchers, not just tight end or wide receivers, pass catchers in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I mean, I'm looking more for a fall off from him in Seattle, but you know, I can see where you're coming from. One thing that did strike me, and I think I'm correct in this, no one picked in the first two rounds. This guy had 101 catches, 1,400 yards last year. Manny Sanders.
Yeah.
Did not see him go. This is a guy I'd be targeting coming right in his next couple of picks.
Coming, he's on that tier. You know, you wonder, for me, I'm worried about Peyton Manning. I'm not sure that offense is going to be that dynamic again, Rick. I'm really not. It may be foolishly believing that, but it's something that's stuck in my head right now.
Yeah, especially early in the year, I would be.
Well, yeah, you're great until Halloween. Then you get a little suspect. But maybe you can get yourself into playoffs before then. We got a break here, Rick. We'll be back. We'll wrap it up right after this.
Welcome back for a very, very brief wrap-up as we covered the two rounds of our mock draft, and you ranted for your head off. Rick, hopefully everything will be smoother next week for everybody.
Yeah, not likely. So thank you for indulging me on that. Anybody who's done this, I know you've been through the same thing. This can be frustrating. So thank you to everybody who's joining us. We are literally out of time already in this last segment. So we will be back next week, same time, same channel. Check out what we can get on the air of the Asylum Fantasy Sports Network at asylumfantasysports.com. Till then, I guess we'll see you.
Take care.